So for me, what's important is that I understand the kind of, like I've been talking, like a platform that you work from. So what is awareness, and when is the mind aware, when it is awake, and to continually acknowledge that, recognize that, become familiar with that. So again and again and again, just returning to suchness by whatever way you like, but I like to listen. So if I listen, and to listen I have to stop fussing. Because if I'm thinking about something or a bit worried or whatever, I'm not really aware, I'm not available, as I say. So just listen. Again, to listen, you have to let go of thought, so no thought. I'm not trying to get a particular sound. I'm not listening in order to have some kind of experience. This is listening. So there's a cricket in the room, something. So that, the kind of getting confidence in that being the most important thing. And then remembering that again and again and again. So once I have that in place, and I recognize that, actually that's all I need to do. That's all. But trouble is, there's all kinds of kidnapping going on. And so practices which sustain that awareness or that kind of availability, rather than practices which are trying to get something else in the future. So we're not looking to produce or manufacture an experience. So what kind of preoccupations kidnap you, your attention? If none, great, just listen to the crickets. But if you do get kidnapped, how do you, how can you develop practices which might help you to be more aware of that? I think you can also think about like a quickness of remembering, like a quickness of coming back home, as it were. That's part of the skill. So this morning I was suggesting body awareness, a kind of body awareness where your attention dwells with the body, mindfulness with the body, mindfulness with the breath if you want, but not trying to control the mind, but just finding balance. And then kind of riding the bicycle through body awareness. So that's what I was suggesting this morning. I was in the Alma retreat, I was talking about an artist called Agnes Martin. She died in 2004. She was from Saskatchewan. And I give someone the DVD. And someone gave me the DVD, and Agnes Martin did horizontal lines for 40 years. and on the DVD, she's obviously, to me, she seems like quite a highly attained woman. I didn't know about her art because I could only see it on the DVD, but what really struck me was she seems like a nice person, and suddenly she says, I'm very careful not to have any ideas. Well, that's an interesting one. Not to have any idea. And she wasn't stupid, but she was able to, seems to me, hold her mind in a kind of emptiness, which brought her a tremendous amount of happiness and joy. Like one of the things I suggested on the Alma retreat, I said to people, just briefly, I said, visualize a horizontal line and take it to infinity. If you just do that, it's like the line of the sea. Just take your mind like that. You can make your mind very empty. You're not grasping anything. Ajahn Sumedho uses the sound of silence. Many of you have read about that. When you relax attention and you're just listening to the way things are, you will at times hear a kind of background ringing, which you can only notice when you're not grasping objects, when you're not trying to get anything, your mind relaxes. So we have kind of practices of emptiness. Some people use metta practice to sustain balance. So they go to the heart and abide with the heart in, say, in Tai Chi, Chi Kung, I suppose. I've never done those things, but martial arts, they recommend you abide in the hara, in the center. So you'll find that different traditions speak about different ways of sustaining that awake mind. Not getting a particular experience, but sustaining the awake mind. So that's what I would, I guess, ask of you again. Do you have confidence in the awake mind, just to kind of see what I'm pointing to? What kind of moods and mindsets grab your attention and you get sort of preoccupied or run with them? What kind of practices could you do to both sustain this balance and to more clearly notice the arising of preoccupations? And if you understood all of those, then you'd kind of develop a way of practice which would be particular to your character, to something that works for you. So I just throw out a few suggestions. You try what you want, but I think those would be the kind of basic principles. First of all, confidence in the awake mind. Do you see the importance of that? Do you have trust in that? If not, what do you trust in? How do you deal with the movement of consciousness? Do you deal with it through? How do you deal with it? And is it successful? Does it give a good result? So perhaps, like this morning, I suggested the body meditation. Or on the first day, I suggested the deep breathing, the pranayama kind of deep breathing, and the spinal column and all of that for dullness and sleepiness. So the posture is, a good posture is the way you sustain vitality if your mind tends to just get dull. So again, if you're sitting on a chair and you're dulling out like that, then I would suggest you move forward a bit on the chair. There was one person on the Elmer retreat who was kind of doing the 65-year-old transition from floor to chair. It's a kind of common transition people make now. They can't sit on the floor anymore. And she was sort of bemoaning that, or not bemoaning it, but finding it difficult to adjust to a chair. And then I suggested, why don't you try putting a 2x4 under the back legs on the 2-inch side. So she did that, or she put something under the back legs, and it raised the seat just slightly. And then she found herself being pushed slightly forward, and her legs were well planted, and she said, I can do this now. Keep my back straight. So it is worthwhile, whatever bit of technology you use for sitting, to develop that, to get it right in whatever way. So I have this kind of fancy wedge that I use, and people have benches. It's worthwhile experimenting. But basically you want to develop a posture where your knees are lower than your hips. Because if your knees are lower than your hips, it pushes your hips forward. If it pushes your hips forward, it pushes the spine up. If you're leaning back too much, and your knees are higher than your hips, that pushes you back, crushes the hara, and you kind of bend down like that, and then you don't have much energy. So, just experiment with that, see how that works. So I'll just do some of the metta practice and then see how we go from there.